listening to Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford on ESPN 850 WKNR.
Shop the biggest selection of apparel and merchandise at the Cleveland Browns Team Shop. Visit the Team Shop in downtown Cleveland at First Energy Stadium. It's open 11 a.m. to 5 p.m. Monday through Friday, or shop online on the Browns mobile app or at shop.clevelandbrowns.com. Okay, one quick programming note. In about 10 or so minutes from now, maybe 12, we're going to have Jim Donovan with us, the voice of the Browns. Had a little phone issue. We got that cleared up. But we are very pleased to bring now, and we were originally going to have him on Friday, but some big news broke with the Eagles, DeSean Jackson, of course, and we're going to talk about that, his release from the Eagles. We're going to talk about that and other topics with our great friend from ESPN, the one, the only, Sal Pal. Sal Palantonio. Hi, buddy.
Hey, Vic. Great to talk to you. I do apologize about Friday, but it's one of those things, and you've been there before. You're just about to sit down to your Friday afternoon lunch in the off season, and then somebody drops a bomb in your lap, and they release their best player. And I literally ran out the door, and I was on I-95 from my home in Jersey going down to South Philly when you guys called, and I had the Eagles on hold, and DeSean Jackson's agent was on the line. I mean, it was just an absolute mess.
All right, so make some sense of what happened and where do you see this thing going with DeSean Jackson?
What happened is this. The Eagles have been trying to trade DeSean Jackson for 2 months. They could not find a trade partner. They tried to trade him for a number of reasons. One, I believe at the root of this is money. They did not want to pay him a new contract. He was unhappy with this contract. They believe he was overpaid. I don't. And they decided that then that was it, that his career in Philadelphia was over, so they might as well get something for him. Here are the problems. One, he has a sketchy background. Two, he has poor work habits. Three, he's not a very good teammate. And he's got two concussions. Anybody who knows wide receivers or anybody, any playmaker, has got two concussions. The third one's really the strike three. It's very difficult to come back from three concussions. Mm-hmm. Now, he hasn't missed a lot of time, but it's an issue that's out there, especially when he wants big money. And I hear he's still looking for a contract worth $9 to $10 million. So the NJ.com article comes out. Eagles were notified by NJ.com that the piece was coming out on Wednesday, and they were looking for some comment. The article comes out on Friday morning, and it provided the perfect cover from which the Eagles could release DeSean Jackson, and that's exactly what happened.
So you obviously were surprised. I was certainly surprised by the news, but when you lay it out, it makes a little bit of sense. Where does DeSean Jackson go from here?
He's in Washington. He's going to go out to dinner with Jay Gruden, the head coach, and Bruce Allen, the general manager. They are supposed to speak tonight and tomorrow. There's a report from my colleague Ed Werder that he is already negotiating with two other teams. We don't know who they are. They haven't been identified. But the bottom line is he wants a big deal. He's not looking to catch on with the team for the NFL minimum with a lot of incentives built in. He just does not want that. He may, however, have to settle for something close to that, depending on what teams find out about his sketchy background.
Sal, Vic and I were talking about Jackson and the Browns as a potential fit, and we didn't think it necessarily was a very good fit. Have you heard anything at all on the front that the Browns could be a possible suitor for DeSean Jackson?
I have not. I have not heard one bit about the Browns and DeSean Jackson. And I look at it this way. The Browns have three of the top 35 picks. That means before every other team in the NFL picks twice, the Browns pick three times.
Yep.
They have five of the top 83 picks. That means before every other team picks three times, they pick five times. The Browns are in a position to dominate this draft with their young general manager, Ray Farmer, and their first-time head coach, Mike Pettine, in a way that really is truly remarkable. They have a very, very, very great opportunity here. and they need to take advantage of it. And if there's one thing that the Seattle Seahawks taught us from the Super Bowl, and Vic, you and I were talking about this at the Combine in Indianapolis.
Mm-hmm.
The Seahawks showed you what? You got to get fast, you got to get young, you got to get strong. Younger, faster, stronger, and you got to do it real quick, because everybody else who wants to catch the Seahawks is doing that exact thing. And the Browns are in the position. You got the draft with the most underclassmen, probably the deepest wide receiver draft in the last 12 years.
Yep.
Take one. Find one and take him. And hold on to that guy and nourish him. I mean, and you got two football guys there, and now Farmer and Patton. These guys, I mean, they drink it and eat it 365. I mean, you know, I know Patton really well. You know, his father coached here in the Philadelphia area. I covered a lot of the New York Jets in my time. I know what this guy is about. I know he's got football in his bloodstream. Farmer's the same way. These guys are gym rats, film rats, and, you know, now they've got a chance to put their stamp on one of the all-time great franchises, all-time great football cities, in a way that really very few people ever in this business get that kind of chance.
Sal Pellizzonio of ESPN, very true words from him here on Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford. So, Sal, you covered a lot, and so many questions will come from this, but let me, as few as we can hit right now, one would be regarding what to do with all those picks, and you made reference to the depth at receiver. What about the quarterback position? I know what really led to us bringing you aboard today is you were very fired up when you and I communicated last Thursday after Johnny Manziel's workout. Your thoughts there?
Yeah, I really thought the workout was good. Now, it's pretty clear that Mike Pettine and Ray Farmer want to do their own thing on these workouts, that they don't trust them. You know, they'd rather get a guy and in an unscripted situation make sure that he passes muster. I like that approach. But everything that I've seen from Bortles and Manziel suggests to me they are first-round quarterbacks. Top 10 quarterbacks. And I think both of them are going to make a general manager and a head coach in the long term very happy. Both seem to work hard. I was at Bortles' pro day, Vic. He impressed me in a way. I was really blown away, not only on the field, but then when I got a chance to talk to him one-on-one before the camera rolled, then when the camera was rolling. And there was a really interesting scene after the pro day was over. I was talking to head coach George O'Leary in their field house, and we were wrapping up our stuff. And I got into my rental car, and I was about to drive down to see my mom in Tampa from Orlando from UCF. So I wanted to wait for the traffic to dissipate. I get in my car, and I'm driving down off campus past the field house and past the athletic center. And I look over, and there's about 40 or 50 students, fans, standing there with Bortles. So I turn the car off, and I sit there, and I just observe. And Bortles is talking to these students, taking pictures, and signing autographs for 45 straight minutes by himself.
Wow.
That really impressed me.
Yeah. Yeah. It is. It says a lot about the kind of guy that he is and,
no
and how humble he stayed.
No cameras were there.
Sure.
No cameras. No
right.
Microphones. No reporters. I was sitting about 50 yards away. I turned the car off. I rolled the window down, and I just watched.
That's a scene. And it's telling. You can pull a lot from that, and I do think that's what he has going for him, Nathan, is the person in addition to the talent.
So, Sal, you mentioned Johnny Manziel and Blake Bortles. To you, those two quarterbacks are head and shoulders above guys like a Teddy Bridgewater or a Derek Carr?
I haven't seen much of Derek Carr, but I know John Gruden is very high on Derek Carr. I have seen plenty of Teddy Bridgewater, enough for me to suggest he's not a first-round pick.
Interesting. All right.
And now, Sal, so with regard to Mike Pettine, the guy you knew from obviously Pennsylvania, and where you're based now, or in the South, that whole Philadelphia area, but then also the Jets coach, and you spent a lot of time around them when he was a defensive coordinator there. What are the Browns getting, and what do you see? And you knew Ray Farmer when he was a linebacker for the Eagles as well. We call them football guys. We throw those things out, but give me some specifics on how you see them taking advantage, as you put it, the rare opportunity to turn around a franchise with this rich history.
You know, I don't think they're going to listen to whatever's popular. I think they're going to do their work, and they're going to grind it out, and I think they're going to try to mold a football team in the image that they've always thought that they could do it. Let's take specifically Pettine, because I know him better. He's going to find some defensive players who are going to attack the quarterback. I think people in Cleveland are going to be excited about the defense that Mike Pettine will bring. He comes straight out of the Rex Ryan, Buddy Ryan mold. That defense will be, it'll be interesting. It'll be always in attack mode. You know, sometimes they'll overplay their hand, but other times they'll be creating turnovers, and you will have to game plan for that defense when you face them. And they face three really good quarterbacks. And in the past, Pettine's been involved with some defenses, specifically in Baltimore, that have had some success against some of those quarterbacks in that division. So the history is there. The DNA is there. He's got to find the right combination of players. So you'll be excited about that. And the other thing is this. Look at the DNA, and what does it suggest? Well, the history of the two teams that went to the AFC Championship game in New York, you had a game-managing young quarterback, a solid to excellent running game, and a defense that was lights out. And I think that's what you're going to see in Cleveland. Mm-hmm. I think that's the model.
And you could certainly make the case that the Browns will have more talent on the offensive side of the football than any of those Jets teams ever had.
Well, they only scored 19 points a game last year.
They were
27th in the league. I mean, I don't think they are happy. I mean, they need to upgrade some areas of offensive talent. I mean,
sure.
They need definitely another wide receiver.
Right. And a quarterback.
I think they'd be shocked if they didn't draft a running back late in this draft. But they got to decide what to do at the quarterback position. And that's why I think you see them going to these players at these colleges, working them out privately, and testing them to see whether they pass muster to these two guys and to Kyle Shanahan.
Yeah, very, very methodical they've been about that. Sal Pal, thank you for the time. We greatly appreciate it. And
yes.
We're going to, I'm sure, catch up with you soon, my friend.
Yeah, I may be there on draft day in Cleveland.
Outstanding. All right.
15 years ago today, you remember, I was there for the Tim Couch draft.
Yes.
I was there for that.
Yeah. No, hey, brother, we got a lot of years. Yes, absolutely. Sal, you're great. Thanks.
Hey,
thanks, buddy.
Thanks for having me, guys. All right.
All right. He is Sal Palantonio, ESPN's only, one and only national correspondent, and a lot of fun to talk about. And, you know, if you have a chance, it's out there. He wrote a book. And it's a real interesting read about how America follows football or imitates football, and how football imitates America, kind of those two themes. It's really a thinking man's kind of view of the game, or thinking woman's, or thinking person's. Anybody should pick up and read that. I know you could probably find it on Amazon or somewhere else, Sal Palantonio's book. It came out several years ago, but it's a really good read. All right, we've got much more coming up for you. Jim Donovan, the voice of the Browns, next on CBD ESPN 850 WKNR.